Well, I'd like to try to talk to you this morning about happiness. I've been kind of fascinated with some of the comments that one of the commentators had about Psalms, the first chapter and the first verse. And so maybe we could turn there, Psalms chapter 1, and we're going to read the first three verses is what we want to focus on today. Remember many years ago when I was a pretty small boy that my brother and I were in Sunday school together, and he was assigned the task of memorizing the first psalm, and I think the one that I was assigned was 46, and I thought mine was exceptionally long, and his wasn't even barely over half as long as mine, and of course, I didn't think that was fair, but anyway, that's a complete tangent. Psalms 1 and beginning verse 1 said, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season, and his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." So I'd like for us to look at these verses and really consider what happiness is and how we can have more of it. So in reading some of the comments in the commentary, this word blessed seems to be a plural form in the Hebrew that the Old Testament was written in, most generally. So it's talking about the many ways and areas of being blessed, or we could say happy today. So they had six statements that was about this blessed or blessedness or blessednesses or however you want to refer to it as, but it's something more, it has more emphasis than our English word that just said, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel." It's like it's something that's considerably expanded more than just what we would say, "Blessed." Well, have a blessed day. Well, we say that, and we mean have a good day, and may the God's approval rest on you. But this is like every little facet of the day, all of the components that come in. So I would guess that it would be a pretty unanimous response if I said, who would want all of their life to be blessed? You know, I don't want just my relationship with my wife to be blessed, but I want that to be blessed. I want my relationship with my children and my grandchildren and my neighbors and my co-workers. I want it to all be something that's good, that's profitable, that makes me feel rewarded and strengthened. And I want things to go well when I try to do something around the house. You know, I don't want my lawnmower to break down, and I don't want my, yesterday my wife was helping me move our camper, and she got in my truck at one point, and she said, "Did you know you're about out of fuel?" And I said, "Yes, I knew that." So she decided, she looked at it, and you know, it's got the fuel computer where it says distance to empty, and I think it was down around 10 miles. And she says, "Do you think I can make it into town?" And I said, "Yeah, I think so. But call me if you don't." You know, none of us like those feelings, do we? We like to get in and think, "Oh, I have plenty of fuel to get to town. I got plenty of fuel to go where I want to go." We don't want things to stop. So we want every part of our life to be blessed. We don't like it. I don't like it when the power goes off and my alarm don't go off in the morning, and I go, you know, get up late and maybe go into the kitchen and my wife's oven says PF on it when the power went off. Power failure is what that stands for. Took me a while. I didn't know what it meant either for the beginning. But we don't like any of that. We want our phones to work. We want our plumbing to all work. We want our whole life to be blessed. So notice the six statements that one of the commentators said about this verse, and specifically about being blessed. God made man for happiness. Do you believe that? You know, if we don't believe that God made man for happiness, we immediately set ourselves up to hold a grudge against God. But I believe God made man to be happy. It was the crowning point of his creation to make man and put him in a garden specifically designed for man. And then you tell me that God didn't intend for us to be happy? I think he did. So God made man for happiness. Next statement is, every man feels a desire to be happy. I want to be happy. And I recognize that everybody around me wants to be happy. That's why people struggle so hard for some things in life, and they're trying to find happiness. In this verse, these verses we've read, as we get into it, we'll find there's a lot of keys to being happy. Because people all around us are doing some pretty weird stuff sometimes, because bottom line is they want to be happy. And the commentator said, God made man for happiness. Every man feels a desire to be happy. All humans, beings abhor misery. If we know someone that seems to take pleasure in hurting themselves or hurting someone else, we know there's something wrong with them, right? We don't need to ask somebody, "Do you think something's wrong with them?" We know. We know if someone seems to take pleasure in inflicting pain on other people, we know there's something wrong with them. Because God didn't design them that way. There's something broke in their emotions. There's something broke in their thinker process. Something is not right if they like causing pain and misery. Happiness is the grand object of pursuit among all men. People sometimes define happiness different from one person to the next, but it's the grand pursuit of all of us. But it's so perverted, is the human heart that it seeks happiness where it cannot be found, and in things which are naturally and morally unfit to communicate it. Did you know that's what's wrong with our world today? The mind is so perverted and corrupt that it's looking for happiness in things that are not morally or naturally fit to give it to us. We look on a lot of substance abuse that's in our world today. And don't people look to drugs for happiness? They do. But it's not naturally or morally fit to bring happiness. We all know those of us that don't do that, we know that substance abuse, whether it's alcohol or narcotics or opioids or whatever it is, we know that it doesn't really bring happiness. It brings some kind of feeling of euphoria or something for a while, but then there's a crash. It's not long-term, it's not real happiness. It's a poor counterfeit at the best. So because mankind's minds is so perverted and their nature is so depraved in our world that we live in, they search for happiness in places that you can't really even get it. And they start trying to define happiness from those parameters instead of something that's realistic. The true way of obtaining it is here laid down. In other words, what we read, these first three verses, this is how to get happiness. This is what happiness is. This is how we go about getting it. So let's look into it a little bit. We notice it said, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." The first thing that pops out to me is this is not specific to any age. It's for blessed is the man. I believe it's not gender specific because I believe he's talking about mankind. He's not just talking about males. He's talking about women too. And he says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly." It's not identified by race. It's not identified by, you don't have to be 16 and older to be happy. You don't have to be 50 and older to be happy. You could be any age. And not just your specific age, but any age that we live in. You know, I used to work with a man. When I was at work, there was a man that would come into my place of work. He was an older gentleman, and he used to bemoan the fact that they didn't make cars like they used to. And he would tell me about his first car and how he wished that you could still buy a Model A. And his name was Alvin, and I told him, I said, "Alvin, if they made a new Model A today, you wouldn't drive it." "Oh, yes, I would." I said, "No, you wouldn't. You had to crank those cars." And they didn't have air conditioning, and they didn't have a heater, and they didn't have power steering, and they didn't have power brake. You wouldn't drive it. You couldn't get it across town before he would give up. I mean, it's too hard. It was work to drive a car. You had to be pretty physically fit to drive the things and start them and all of that. You don't want that. Happiness is sometimes, we think, well, if I only lived 100 years ago, I could have been happy back then. Wrong. If you'd have lived 100 years ago, you would have wished that they didn't have buggies. You'd wish that they just had ox carts or something. I don't know that you would have not liked when you lived, because you got to get over your problem with the current age that we live in. You know, there's things I don't like about technology today, but I know that if I don't conquer my aversions for that, I wouldn't have been any happier if I lived 100 years ago. There's another secret here, and I've got to get a hold of it if I'm going to be happy and I'm going to be fulfilled and I'm going to have the blessedness in all parts of my life. He says here, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly." Did you know there's a lot of ungodly counsel out there about how to be happy? What you can do to be happy. There's advertisements. There is attractions all around us. And if you listen to it, they'll take you down some little dead-end street of euphoria and they'll leave you in a blind alley is what they'll do. They'll take you down that street and it'll look so good at the entrance, and when you get to the end of it, you'll feel like, well, it takes you down there and then it beats you up. You wished you'd have never went down that alley. You wished you'd have never got addicted. You'd wished you'd have never experienced whatever it is. You wished you could erase the pictures out of your mind. You wished that you could forget. You wished you could forgive. You wished you hadn't have done, or whatever it is, that's a blind alley. But he says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners. Don't get in their path or in their groove. You know, the easiest way, this past weekend, the boys wanted to take me fishing, and I have to tell you that fishing is not my thing. But I caught more fish in one day than I've ever caught in my life. And that, for some people, that don't mean very lot. But, you know, when you catch, I don't know, I probably hooked and reeled in 40 or 50 trout in one day. Because I was with somebody that knew how to catch trout. And they knew how to bait my hook. But I can't afford to go fishing like that every weekend. But you know, the best way, one of the things that we noticed is every time a boat would go by us, you know what our boat driver would do? He didn't try to get in and go the same direction. He went across the wake. You know the best way to avoid being pulled in to the way that the sinners walk? It says here, nor standeth in the way of sinners. Blessed is the man that does not stand in the way of the sinners. You know, the easiest way to not get caught in the rut of sinful habits is to go at a 90 degree angle of that. To go across the grain. Come on and go with me. Let's go do this. Let us. That's what let's means. You know, the L-E-T apostrophe S. That's let us. You can say, you got a mouse in your pocket? I'm not going there. I'm going a different direction. I'm going across the grain. I don't want to go down a path that could lead me into destruction. No, blessed is the man that doth what? Does not stand in the way of the sinners. Does not get in the wake that could turn you over. But go across that. Don't allow yourself to just go along and stay on the fringes. This is counsel from the Scripture. Blessed is the man that does what? That walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor go across the grain. Choose a path that's going the other way. All right? Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. You know how easy it is to get pulled in to criticizing the supervisor, the boss, the government, and your spouse? There's like everywhere you go, there's a little nucleus of scornful people. And they're talking about their old man, their old woman. They're talking about the president. They're talking about this. They're talking about, you know how easy it is to just slide over and feel comfortable saying negative things about people that you really shouldn't say nothing about. Or, I'm praying for them. Or you might ought to defend them. You might ought to go completely against the grain and say, my wife's not like that. My husband's not like that. I didn't... I don't have a relationship like that. I don't know what you're talking about. Instead of trying to think, you know, she really does do some of those things. You can find yourself sucked right into that seat of the scornful if we're not careful. But we're talking about being happy, right? How happy will you be long term by criticizing your spouse? Just think about it. Sooner or later, it's going to get back to them. It just is. You're either going to slip up and tell them or somebody else is going to. How happy is it long term if you can't say anything good about the place you work for? That's the seat of the scornful. And if we're not careful, we'll be down that blind alley and wish to goodness we'd have never went in there. It looks so good because something didn't fit my desires at the time. But we're talking about being happy. And he said, I want to read the verse again. Just think about what we said. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor, that means he don't do this either, stand in the way of sinners, nor, he don't do this either, sit in the seat of the scornful. You want to be happy? Then there's three things to stay away from. But that means, hold on. Instead of the things we're not to do, there is something to do. He says, but delight thyself in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. It's a real secret there. It's a secret key to success of being happy. You know, if you daydream about material possessions that would make you happy, you'll end up in a blind alley. You'll end up going down a path where you become scornful, you get in the way of the sinner, and you begin to listen to the counsel of the ungodly. But if instead you will choose to meditate on what? In his law doth he meditate day and night. Did you know if you will meditate on the Word of God and the things, if you will purpose, I won't listen to something that does not direct me and point me to a closer relationship with the Lord. I just won't do it. I'm going to go across the grain. And you begin to meditate and cultivate and purpose. I want something this morning before I go to work, or I'm going to turn the scripture on while I'm driving or whatever it is. I'm going to listen to somebody reading the word, and when something really stands out to it, we push the pause button. We all got this on our phone. We can listen to it going down the road. If you don't, I can help you figure out how to download an audible version of the scripture, and I'm not very savvy, but I can do that. And you can listen, you can put your headphones on, and you can tune the world out. And when you get down to a point and it seems like the verse is something you need to dwell on, you can tap your headphone or push your button on your phone, and you can meditate on that. See, we could say, well, if you don't have the Bible, you know, I can't read in Hebrew. But I'm sure glad somebody translated it to English so I can read it in English. I'm glad I don't live in the age where the only way to get the scripture was listen to it read at the synagogue. I'm real thankful. I'm real thankful that I got multiple Bibles in my house. I probably got enough Bibles to put one in every vehicle that I own, maybe multiple times, and I can still have one by my bed and my recliner. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for the age I live in. But if we choose to meditate on the scripture, you know what's going to happen? We're going to find reasons to be happy. And it's not going to be some exhilarating thrill from jumping off a cliff. I saw a man do that one time. Took him a long time to get the nerve to jump off, but he jumped off a cliff and he dove into the water several hundred feet below. Rocks down there and water crashing in, and he jumped in the dark too. I might have had to jump in the dark. But it was, he jumped off this cliff and went way down into the ocean. I'm sure going down there, his heart was up in his throat, and it was thrilling. It had to be. It was exciting for me to see it. But happiness is better than that. Happiness is more than jumping off a cliff and splashing into the water, because it come to a pretty quick end, you know? You can't fall forever. You get the point. Happiness is not that. Happiness is a sense of contentment. A contentment of satisfaction, a contentment of a place of well-being. So he says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. You want to really be happy? Live your life in a manner that you can meditate on the Lord's things wherever you are and whatever you're doing. The next verse said, and he shall be like, this is the end result. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. I got this big tree at my house, and I hope it outlives me because I really like it. over 16 feet in circumference. It's a big tree. And every year I look out there at those old branches that don't have leaves on in the spring, and as the springtime comes on, it's always refreshing to see the leaves come out. And it's got one limb that's up in there that was damaged from a fire years ago, probably 40 years ago. There was a house burnt down close to it and killed a limb, and it's still up there. It hadn't fell off yet. But all the leaves, limbs around it bush out and hide that old dead limb that's up in there. It's a big limb. It's big as I am up in that tree. But every year I'm looking for those leaves. And this says what? He says this person that's happy, he's going to, it says he will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. This is an oak tree, folks. This is not no sycamore. This is not a Bradford pear that get a little wind upside down it comes. It's not like that. This is something that's solid. It loses a few leaves, and it loses a few little limbs when the wind blows and things like that. But it's even got big acorns. It's got acorns that look like, with the husk on them, they're about that big around. And you get the shell off of it, and it's about that big around. And if they're falling off the tree, you don't want one of them to hit you, because it might put a knot on your head. It's a big tree. And you know, every time I see it, I feel like, yeah, that's a tree. Now, that's the kind of happiness I want. I don't want some kind of happiness that's just like, little giggle. Life is more than giggles. I want real deep-seated happiness, something I can wake up and know that I'm going to be happy all day because of what? Because of God. Know that I can go to bed at night and be happy and content with who I am and where I am and what I am. That's called happiness. Happiness is not jumping off a cliff. It's not going 200 miles an hour. It's not the applause of men, because they can't clap forever. They're going to quit. You need to be happy with who you are and what you are without all of that. He'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, and bringeth forth fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. I'm talking about real, genuine happiness. I'm not talking about some kind of facade. I'm not talking about something that's temporary. I'm talking about something that'll be there with us in the good times and the bad. There's a statement in the paper Brother Nelson sent out about raising delinquent children, I think is the title of that article, that really stood out to me. He said, if you're so concerned about filling their bellies with good food and you don't care what goes in their minds, that's how you raise delinquent children. So notice what the scripture says about what we eat. Now, don't get me wrong, I like good food, but look at Luke, the 10th chapter and 8th verse, and notice what Jesus said. Luke chapter 10 and verse 8. We've all heard this verse used in other areas. It says, in whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you. This is Jesus speaking to his to the 70. As he sent them out, whatever city you go, whatever house invites you to come in, you eat what's set before you. So the other, yesterday morning, my wife and I and her dad was sitting there eating breakfast, and we was talking about, he was telling us about a time that someone got the cereal out and got in the refrigerator, and they thought they got milk out in a glass jar, and it was potato soup, and they poured potato soup on the cereal, and the children were supposed to eat their cereal before they went to church or something, and they were kind of complaining, and their mother said, eat it. And they found out later that they'd ate their cold cereal with potato soup poured over it. Cold potato soup. Now, they lived in an age when they ate it. Now, what would our children do today? Did potato soup over cornflakes hurt them? Not a bit. Might have given them something they didn't have. It might have given them some strength. But, you know what? We can be so concerned about, don't pour any potato soup on their cornflakes. They won't like that. It might mess with them, you know. They feel disadvantaged if you pour potato soup on their cornflakes. But we can let them consume other things and contaminate their minds. Well, just as long as they're quiet, let them watch whatever they want to watch. There's some things about Disney that I don't really like, but you know, at least they were quiet and I could go do my thing. I could get my work done and they weren't fussing. And all the time, they're getting this implication that there are other lifestyles that's just as acceptable as the lifestyle mom and dad lives. You know that's garbage? You know that'll cause problems down the road? That'll cause little children to grow up not just to be delinquent, but they're going to have a hurdle to overcome because they've been given a bunch of garbage to put in their minds. So I want us to think about that. You know, the psalmist over in Psalm 73, we'll try to not keep you too much longer here. Psalm 73, the psalmist, he got to looking around and seeing all that was going on around him, and he thought that it was, surely there's a lot of happiness out there in this world. He says in verse 3, "But I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men." They're just, things look like, you know, they look so happy. And have you ever seen somebody on a billboard for the casino with tears running down their face? And maybe in the background, the picture of a law enforcement officer evicting them from their house because they didn't pay their rent or couldn't pay their mortgage payment or something. You don't see that. What do you see? Someone dressed in the latest styles, big toothy smile, inviting you to come in, suggesting that there's an opportunity, you can come in a pauper and leave a wealthy person. That's what they present. It looks like happiness. Where does all that money come from? It comes from common, ordinary people. Or people that really don't have a nickel to spare. And it's taken away from them. But by chance. And the chances are you'll come out a loser. That's what the chance is. It's not happiness. It's a blind alley. You go down that blind alley and you get beat up. And you can look on and say, oh, it looks like such a good time. Some of them might even offer you free food. Free food. Might even be lobster. But is it really happiness? Did it fit the first three verses we read? Then it probably isn't real happiness. It's probably a mirage. It's probably a facade. It's probably imaginary. It's probably something when you try to get a hold of it, it'll be like, well, I thought it was there, but it's not really there. I'd like to read a few verses and not make too many comments. But it's just something I want you to take home with you. Proverbs, the 10th chapter, in verse 22. It says, "The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich." What did he say about, it'd be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, and whatsoever he doeth shall do what? Shall prosper. And he says here, "The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. And he addeth no sorrow with it." No guilt. No emotional crash. No devastating life experience. Do we face reverses? Yes. Do we have to face serious stuff like death and calamity? Yes, we do. But you know, when the Lord is there, we can have a happiness that supersedes all of that. "The blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it." And I'd like for us to go to Nehemiah, the 8th chapter. And this was spoken at a time when they were rebuilding Jerusalem after the captivity. In Nehemiah, the 8th chapter, in the 10th verse. And the people here were being sorrowful because they realized how wrong that their ancestors had been in not really worshiping the Lord. But Ezra was reading the word to them and causing them to understand. He was explaining the scripture. Just like many times the preacher expounds on the word and tries to help, and a teacher does in Sunday school lessons. were trying to help us understand the context and the essence behind the scripture. Ezra was doing that. And it says here in verse, we'll read maybe verses 9 and 10, we're in the 8th chapter of Nehemiah. And he says, in Nehemiah, which is the Tirshatha and Ezra, the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto them, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. You know, when you come to have an understanding of what God is and what he wanted out of us, sometimes it causes us to weep and wish, I wished I'd been better in the past. And that's what these people were weeping about. I wished I'd have done different. I wish my grandpa and my great-grandpa and those behind me had have been better. And we wouldn't have had to gone through this. And they had tears in their eyes. But listen to what Ezra told them. Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the day of the Lord is, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. This is talking about an element of happiness that the world can't get a hold of. When you turn your life around and you are living for the Lord, yes, there may be something in the flesh that says, oh, I wished I could have started on the right foot. I wished I could have had things better. I wished I'd have been taught all of that. And you can start to weep about that. But no, what are you doing right now? What were they doing? They're the ones that asked Ezra to read the law of Moses to them. They're the ones that said, I want to know. I want you to teach me. I want to be able to know how to live. So he said, this day is holy. This is a day of joy. This is happiness. Okay? You're going the right way now. This is the right thing to do. Be encouraged. Eat the fat. Have the things that are sweet. Share with those that nothing's been prepared for. They don't even know what you know. Share a little bit of it. Tell them about it. You know, since I have found the Lord, my life is different. Spread it on them a little bit. Can you see any difference now? Would you rather have the old whatever or the one you see now? Well, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to tell the difference. I know there's people that look on and they say, they have to acknowledge that Christianity has done something for you when you have real happiness. Okay? So let's end with one last verse. Psalms 37 and verse 37. He says, mark the perfect man and behold the upright. For at the end of that man is peace. Don't you feel like that peace and happiness are pretty much synonymous? They're the same. If you got peace, you got happiness. If you don't have peace, how happy are you? That helps me define that pretty easily. If I don't have peace, I'm not very happy. If there's something disturbing my peace, that usually means I'm not very happy. He says, mark the perfect man. What's a perfect man? I'm going to read that to us because I don't want you to forget. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season, and his leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The blessings of the Lord maketh rich, it said, and he addeth no sorrow with it. There's real happiness out there, and the way to get it is to plunge in to living for God. Meditate on his word day and night. Allow it to be the focal point of your life and you'll find true happiness. We can be a globetrotter. We can be a fashion finder. We can be a whatever. We can look for pleasure and happiness in so many ways. And you know what it's going to end up? Just an aftertaste. I went fishing. It was fun. But you know, there's more to it than that. There's a happiness that exceeds catching trout. There's a happiness that exceeds cliff diving. There's a happiness that exceeds whatever it is that we think would be fun. There's a happiness that's called peace. And that peace will be happiness that no one can deny. You pray for me.